and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
Do you celebrate Thanksgiving anymore down there where you are? Is that a thing that they do?
I do.
Or is it just Thursday for you?
It is weird because I had my daughter had a doctor's appointment that day, and I messaged my mom, and I was like, oh, this is, you know, we got this doctor's appointment or whatever for our daughter. And my mom goes, well, whose idea was it to have it on a holiday? And I was like, it's not a holiday down here. She's like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's like,
yeah, for you Americans, this day holds great significance. It's one of the most important calendar days on the year. But for me, it was Thursday.
It was a Thursday. I did, in fact, have Thanksgiving, though. So I had two Thanksgivings, actually. So that was good. So ain't nothing wrong with that. Two Friendsgivings. So it was pretty good.
There you go. Yeah. Friendsgiving's arguably better than the
100%. 100%. Yeah. Now, I will say this. I do not suffer the thing that I think a lot of white people have to suffer, is I don't have a conservative uncle. All of my uncles taught me to be massively liberal. So I don't have that weird, like, family member who you're just like, oh, here we go. Like, I have never had that.
So, well, so when we go to see my family, I know that there are some Republicans on my side of the family, but they're not vocal about it. Very you know, close to the vest conservative kind of thing. So politics doesn't enter the equation for the better. Like that's a good thing. If we went to my wife's family, oh boy,
very vocal.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say, born and raised, very liberal, households, married into an even more liberal household. So yeah, we're good. If anything, when my wife, and I go to her family's, house for Thanksgiving, it's everyone sharing memes about dunking on Republicans.
I can only imagine such a glorious experience.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're just like, have you seen this one? Look how stupid they are. This is like, that's what it mostly ends up being. So yeah, look, growing up in a black, you know, blue collar, I would argue, family, and then marrying into a family of, academics. So yeah, just a bunch of fucking nerds. All right. So, before we get into this week's, episode of all sorts of shenanigans, obviously we were off because of the holiday. I did want to start because not that this episode is very dark, but like the world of politics is very dark right now with obviously what's going on in Gaza. And then, you know, what is, clearly happening as far as, what's happening with Trump and everything else. And like, he's giving some pretty dark and fucking twisted ass, messaging.
You know, apparently fucking Obamacare is back on the table now again.
Look, dude. All right. Like it again. And I've made this point many times. People are like, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. Just wait until this thing gets going. And you're going to be so sure to be like, yeah, no, it's fine. Like, look, you can have disagreements with Joe Biden. God knows I do, especially on Gaza. But like, we haven't hit the stride yet, right? Like, all the crazy is coming. Yeah, it's coming. Don't be so sure you're going to feel that way. So here is the bright story that I think we should start with. Derek Chauvin got stabbed, which is great.
Just so you guys know, Jay, all Jay has on the docket is a bright story before the news, and he doesn't have anything linked. So, I was just waiting to.
That's it.
Oh shit! Oh yeah. My god! Don't clip this out for TikTok. We're gonna look like assholes. So.
I mean, one could argue that I think TikTok would be fine with it. Look, I don't care. That's inaccurate. Yeah. I do care. Good. Is that the right word we should be using? Look, I saw people, we shouldn't celebrate this or whatever. No, I'm celebrating. You know, if I had my Biden aviator shades on right now, I'd put them on, baby. Like, listen, I don't give a shit that guy got stabbed, because I watched a video of that guy leaning on a black man's neck until he died.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Also real big, you know, real big. The consequences of my own actions.
Yeah.
Energy here, you know?
This idea that I'm supposed to have the, you know, I guess like moral, like high ground and be like, no, violence shouldn't happen to him. No. Not only do I not care that violence happened to him, I'm glad it happened to him. And not only that, it happened on Black Friday, which just kind of feels good a bit, gotta tell you. But look, those are my words. And I think I think other people have had plenty of things to say. But a person that I find very annoying now once said something that I find absolutely accurate and really sums up how I feel about the entire thing.
Well, when The Rock saw it, The Rock thought, oh, well, he might be hurt. The Rock better go take a shower now so we can go eat.
I believe that's after he hit Mick Foley in the head with a chair like 100 times.
Oh, is that from the Last Man or the that was a Royal Rumble thing that happened?
Yeah. I think so. Rock's gonna go take a shower, get something to eat. I don't care. Heaven would not have lost an angel. Apparently, he's still alive. Shrug. I don't care, and I don't have to feel bad about not caring or celebrating it. Look, you mad? Put on a cape and get super mad. I don't give a fuck. He deserved it. Look, he's lucky he didn't die. He's lucky. And again, shrug?
Like, yeah. Oh, no. Anyway. Oh,
yeah. Oh, so sad. Anyway, let's move on. Like, right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now into the darkness. Trump's lawyers arguing that he didn't swear an oath to the Constitution. This is a wild story. and it's wild for obvious reasons. Apparently, the argument against Donald Trump saying he did not swear an oath to the Constitution can be easily found in him being sworn in as president. But, you know,
whatever. now this is in reference to these cases that are going on in Colorado that's trying to get him thrown off the ballot under the Insurrection Act. Or under the 14th Amendment. I just find it very funny that, like you said, they can just refute this by literally playing a video of his swearing in when he became president. Like, it's just endlessly amusing to me. To which I'm sure the defense objected, and the judge asked, you know, on what grounds? And they said, because it's devastating to my case.
Right, exactly. Like, right. Overruled. Yeah, so apparently it says in their appeal against the Colorado lawsuit, Trump's lawyers reiterated that the wording of Section 3 does not apply to people running for president, and that Trump technically, you know, being technically right, the best type of right, technically did not swear an oath to, quote, support the Constitution. Instead, during his January 2017 inauguration, Trump swore to, quote, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution during his role as president. I got to tell you, if we're making our stance on whether or not this guy should be allowed to run for president based on semantics,
I'm always up for semantics.
Yeah. You're failing as a lawyer, by the way. You're super failing as a lawyer. Now, granted, I know lawyers love to play the not just nuance, like hyper nuance, so they can try to tear down an argument. This is not a very good one. This is like Lionel Hutz level lawyering, as far as I'm concerned. This is fucking ridiculous. What's
it? I mean, you are 1,000% correct. I feel like we talked about this weeks ago when they were floating the idea that they were going to raise this as his defense. In this trial, but yeah, they actually said this in open court, which is very funny to me.
So people could hear him. Like, that's to me, that's just It's unbelievably stupid. It just goes to show, though, that they don't have much of an argument. Now, will he get kicked off the ballot? I don't think so.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. I don't think so. Should he? 100%, right? But will he? Likely no. It is, but it's just this idea of like, it doesn't say support. Yeah. It said, like, come on, man. Like, okay, if your job is not to support the Constitution, then why is the argument always that you are doing things based on constitutionality, right? To support, because in order to support the Constitution, I would argue
that Donald Trump of all presidents wasn't basing very many of his decisions on the constitutionality.
I will grant you that, but I'm saying that's the argument they would make. Not that they absolutely do it, because they don't. Right, I agree with that. But they would always, and Republicans in general, will always argue about the constitutionality of their decisions. But if you don't support the Constitution, what the fuck are you doing being president? Like, the whole point is that this quote-unquote living document is the foundation of our country. If that is true, and you took an oath to agree to protect and defend it and everything else, then by default you're supporting it. If you're keeping it in place, by default you are supporting it. Like, no jury, or not even a jury, but like whoever is like sort of like litigating this, no logical person would be like, yeah, no, that makes sense. These are two wildly different things. Like, they're not. It's a very, very silly argument from a very silly bunch of people, honestly.
Well, when you can afford the caliber of attorney that Donald Trump can afford, this is kind of what you get. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And plus, like, can you imagine, like, how many fucking legal teams does he have working for him right now? Like, the legal team handling this is probably like the fucking F tier Donald Trump legal team.
Yeah, it's F troop, right? Like, these guys are their bargain basement, man.
Fucking night court over here trying to keep Donald Trump on the ballot in Colorado. Look,
I'm pretty sure John Larroquette now could outwork these guys. Like, it is pathetic. This is pathetic. Like you're the president, dude. Like, you were the president. Of course you're supposed to support the Constitution. By the way, if I am a candidate running against him, I use this to beat him over the head. Cool. Mm-hmm. You said in a court case that you didn't support the Constitution. Answer for that. Like, you.
Oh, so don't worry, support the Joe. trust me. Biden's team is fucking chambering these like bullets in a gun, man. Like, they are just fucking loading him up and waiting to pop off. I mean, he's already hitting him. Like, he made sure to hit him on the Obamacare thing when he said that. And I think he's keeping his powder dry because there's still a primary that has to happen. And he doesn't want to waste all his good ammo while Trump is still not officially the nominee. But you rest assured, like they are saving all of these things up for running against him.
I mean, he's not making it difficult. Like, he's really not making it difficult. But the idea that he's literally arguing that he doesn't believe in one of the fundamentals of the job, which I would argue is the most fundamental job, right? You could say the Constitution is a imperfect document. Hello, Black, agreed. not hard for me to argue that, right? Mm-hmm. You could say that it lacks a lot of things, and there needs to be more amendments, and some of these amendments are outdated, Second Amendment, things like that. 100% agree with you. But it is the job of the president to defend and uphold the Constitution. That is an inarguable fact. But the fact that he's like, maybe, I don't know, depends on how this case is going, whether that's really what I see as my job. It's crazy to me.
But the irony is that if this gets in front of the Supreme Court, and there's a good chance that if this appeals court and Colorado knocks it down, that the Supreme Court of the U.S. probably won't even hear it, most likely. Like, they'll just defer to that decision. He would still probably get six people on the court to be like, yeah, like, no, this is different. This is not the same thing, which is insane to me. Because again, they would go back to this incorrect originalist interpretation. They're like, oh, no, the 14th Amendment was just about just about, you know, the Confederates. Like, that's the only people that was pertaining to.
Right. So, like, but what about the whole, you know what? Never mind. Don't worry about it. Like, forget it. Like, we only read the first half, totally forgot about the second half. Right. So, yeah, it's a bit weird. It's a weird argument. And I hope other Republicans beat him over the head. And I hope Joe Biden beats him over the head, because it seems pretty easy to me. Mm-hmm. Next up, Georgia prosecutors oppose a plea deal for Trump, Meadows, and Giuliani. Ooh, I like that. I like a little bit of hardball, a lot of legal hardball here. So down in Georgia, Fani Willis has basically made it very known that Mark Meadows, Rudy Giuliani, and Donald Trump will not be getting plea deals, right? They are not looking to plea them out. However, they are giving the option of plea deals to every other co-defendant to just build a bigger and tougher and more steadfast case against these three shitbirds at the top. Look, I respect it. I love it. I'm here for this type of hardball. Sounds good to me. I don't think any of these guys plead out.
I believe them in terms of today, that they wouldn't offer a plea deal. I think if they did build a strong enough case, especially with as many people as they're probably going to end up still flipping in this situation, and they kind of laid that case out on the table, then they probably would offer a plea deal if the terms were favorable to them, because a bird in the hand is you know, worth two in the bush, as they say. And like, right. if it doesn't have to go to a jury, you prefer not to, which is why most cases in this country do get plied out. But yeah, I agree that today, but like, come see me in 6 months, like when the case is actually built up strong against them, and we'll see if they change their tune. But I do think that any plea deal, might have to involve some kind of jail time for the DA to accept it. Maybe.
I think maybe they'd let Meadows plea out. Because he's a big fish, but he's not as big. He's nowhere near Trump, and he's certainly nowhere near Giuliani. I think, look, and this is a petty reason, but I got to imagine if you're a DA anywhere in the country and you have an opportunity to throw the book at Rudy Giuliani, one of the most famous district attorneys of all time, on some legitimate shit. I don't think you let that motherfucker plea out. I think you try to put him away. Like, I think
in Georgia, if anyone's spending a day in prison, it's Rudy, most likely.
You think so? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Trump ever gets Trump will never take a plea. He'll never take a plea. No, I don't think so. I don't think it'll be offered to him. I think at the worst case scenario, the best case scenario for Fani Willis and her team is they get both Meadows and Giuliani to flip. Now, Giuliani has gone on record and said, I'm going down with the ship. I wouldn't have said that. That's a wild statement.
I mean, if he is as destitute as we have been led to believe, you know, getting three hots in a cot, not the worst thing that could happen to old Rudy. Especially if he's got to sell his Manhattan apartment, and you know, he's got to go to a bail bondsman to afford bail money because he's so fucking poor now, apparently. Like, look, that's three squares a day, my man, plus exercise.
Yeah,
socialization. It's looking pretty good.
Look, I mean, you won't be able to try to sleep with one of Sacha Baron Cohen's co-stars, but you know,
like, or one of your many cousins.
Yeah, well, he wasn't sleeping with her. He married her because he's a weirdo. His first cousin, if you don't know that, Rudy Giuliani married his first cousin. They got divorced, you know, because probably it wasn't working out, the family reunions or whatever. But, like, they were married. Again, Democrats are weird. Democrats are weird. All right, man. Like, not that I'm approving of it, but it wasn't like his eighth cousin where you're like, well, maybe they just didn't meet. No, he was at a family reunion like that one. I like her. Like, that's weird, dude. Super fucking strange. So yeah, I don't think Trump ever gets a plea offer, but I think Mark Meadows is the top choice of those three to be included in a plea deal, because I think Mark Meadows won't go to jail. And I think Mark Meadows will easily be like, nope, 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 nope. They did it. Here's all the documents. Like, I think.
Yeah. He's are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to offer me a plea? Like, I've got a lot of stuff to sell you. Like,
I will screw these people. I hate them. Please put them in jail. I feel unsafe. Right. So, but the article goes into, like, they've given these other co-defendants, these other 16 co-defendants, the option for plea deals, or, you know, directly gotten plea deals from them. But they're still leaving it open that they could change their mind. They haven't, like, put in concrete that they're not giving it to Meadows. They're not giving it to Trump. They're not giving it to Giuliani. So I agree with you. You got to see where things go. But if anybody is getting it, I think it's Meadows. And then the other two just get destroyed, which is pretty great.
It honestly would not surprise me to see every other co-defendant in this case plead out, because it's at some point the math just makes too much sense, especially these lower level folks, the Georgia, like the fake collectors in Georgia. Yeah, like, you gotta fuck.
Yeah, dude, they are 100% pleading out. Like, nah, they're not sticking around for any of that shit. All right, let's quickly take a break, and then we'll come right back with more topics. Okay. Next up on the old docket, Hunter Biden, everybody's favorite prostitute, fucking crack smoking dude with his dong out. Yeah. So apparently he has done something that I 100% agree with, which is he is refusing to do a closed door session with Republicans or with the Oversight Committee. He's like, no, I will happily come in. I will happily talk to you, but it's all public, baby. Like, you're not going to selectively leak half, should I say, and try to turn it into some other narrative and everything else. But I'm happy to come talk to you, but it'll be public. He says that to the House Oversight Committee head, Representative James Comer, from the great state of Kentucky, and which Comer said, no, I don't think so. maybe he's trying to hide something by speaking publicly, is what they've been trying to convince people on Fox News of. Yeah, no, this is a dope move. And look, Comer tried to be slick and was like, well, maybe we'll do a closed-door session and an open-door session. We'll do the closed-door one first. And it's like, no, because you'll do the closed door one and then you'll cancel the public one. And it's like, no, and then you'll fucking
– Or you'll schedule them weeks apart, and then in the meantime, as soon as the closed door section leaves, all of a sudden the most damning testimony will be leaked out by Republicans, I'm sure. Yep. Look, I can't say it better than Jamie Raskin said it, who is the ranking Democrat on the Oversight Committee, where he said, what an epic humiliation for our colleagues, and what a frank confession that they're simply not interested in the facts and have no confidence in their own case or the ability of their own members to pursue it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it goes on. The quote goes on. After the miserable failure of their impeachment hearing in September, Chairman Comer has now apparently decided to avoid all committee hearings where the public can actually see for itself the logical, rhetorical, and factual contortions they have tied themselves up in. Jamie Raskin from downtown. There you go.
Yeah. Well, again, this runs counter to, you know, when Democrats were holding impeachment hearings for Donald Trump. All that shit was done.
All public, baby.
Out in the open. Yeah, because they knew they had nothing that they wanted to hide.
Right. There's no need to hide behind a closed door session. None of this that you're talking about, all of this like Hunter Biden, Burisma bullshit, right? None of that is top secret. None of it is like, okay, we got to keep it behind closed doors because they're talking about like military movements or something like that. Like, I could see an argument for that. This is all publicly ready information. If it is real, it is not, incidentally. But if it was real, then you should be able to defend it quite easily. Marjorie Taylor Greene says, "Oh, look at all this information we have. Cool, let's talk about it then." Ask that guy.
Well, and that kind of leads to the other reason why they don't want to do this publicly is because it would be very easy for a public hearing where the Republicans are just pounding on Hunter Biden, and then the Democrats are just like, look, I'm really sorry that you had to deal with this. Obviously, they've got nothing here. Here's why, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a shame that they're putting you through this. And they could cast him as a very sympathetic figure very easily instead of the villainous figure that the GOP is attempting to portray him as.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, that's the last thing they want to do, right? Mm-hmm. But again, if you are supporting Republicans and you're supporting them going after Hunter Biden, then you got to ask yourself a real question. Look, I know you won't because, you know, come on. But like the real question is, why would you not want to call this guy out publicly? This mm-hmm. is shit that can make it on Fox News, OAN or whatever garbage fucking bullshit you read or watch. Why would you not want to be like, and boom, we fucking nailed him. We asked him this question and he gave us exactly the answer we were looking for. Here you go. We told you, you know, fucking let's roll with impeachment. Mm-hmm. But what did I tell you? What did Brad tell you weeks ago? Scuttle, scuttle, scuttle. You're not doing that impeachment. They're done with that shit. They don't want to talk about it anymore. And they damn sure don't want to have Hunter Biden coming out there and making them look like fools. The guy who you've been talking about is like a crackhead idiot, all this other shit, is going to make you look like fools. Yes. He's going to make you look like fools because he doesn't have anything to hide. Like, what do I have to hide, dude? Like, you've seen me smoking crack, having sex with prostitutes with my dick out. Like, there's nothing left, baby. Like here it is. This is it. What, do you want me to start an OnlyFans? Like, there's nothing.
And this is also why, like, the shit that they pulled with the January 6th committee is going to come back and bite them in the ass.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, like, they can't, because, like, they're playing the, oh, like, we issued a lawfully supported subpoena to have him testify in this closed-door session. And it's like, but if I'm Hunter Biden, I'd be like, well, I'm going to follow the lead of Jim Jordan, who also had a lawfully issued subpoena cast to him, and he just said, "Ah, fuck you guys. Like, I'm not going to come do shit."
Yeah, and nothing happened.
Like you have like Republicans themselves basically showed what the power of a congressional subpoena is when they decided to fuck around. Well, now you're going to find out, because now you've set the table for other people to be like, yeah, you know what? I don't really feel like coming in, so I'm just not going to. And what are you going to do about it? Absolutely fucking nothing.
Yeah, oh, we're going to arrest them. Okay.
do that, please. Yeah.
Please go and arrest the president's son. See how that's going to work out. look, I got to say, one of, as much as I love Jamie Raskin's, you know, epic humiliation line and everything else, very good. I got to say, the winner of the week for the best quote on this is AOC. Quote, this is a tweet from her. The reason the GOP doesn't want a public hearing on Hunter Biden is because the Oversight Committee Democrats have hoisted them up by their own petards every public hearing this year. They're scared of getting humiliated for not having an actual case again, so they need to hide. So there's your answer. Yeah.
I got to say, hoisted by their own petard is a phrase that doesn't exist enough in the lexicon currently.
Yeah, no. Look, she's really good at online snark. She's great at it. So, yeah, so it's perfect. It's perfect. It just, again, if you ever wanted to know if this Hunter Biden shit was real, there's your answer. Mm-hmm. Given an opportunity to dunk on this guy repeatedly for all of his evil doings, then I'll take it. You think the Republican Party is not going to use an opportunity to beat Joe Biden over the head with corruption charges? Okay, if you believe that they're just going to let it go, all right. I got a bridge in Wasilla to sell you. Like, get the fuck out of here. Once again, they have proven to just, I don't know, just to be a waste of fucking time, basically.
I mean, look, you gotta waste time with shit like this when you don't have actual ideas for the country. So,
I mean, that's the real problem, isn't it? Like, fundamentally, that's the problem.
I mean, people can only sit around and be bored for so long, Jay. Eventually, you get up to all sorts of fucking nonsense.
I don't know, man. You want to bring Hunter Biden in? Yeah. Come on in publicly. Ah, shit. Nah, don't worry about it. Stay over there. Like, they really don't have anything. And that you're absolutely right. That's the fundamentals of it, is that they don't have an argument for bettering the country. I mean,
again, like, this is the same.
with Trump.
Same yeah, this and this is the same thing that, like, Republicans have so little things of substance that, like, on Thanksgiving, like, the big controversy on the right was that Kamala Harris tweeted out a Thanksgiving Day photo of her and her husband in their kitchen, and there's a gas stove in the kitchen, but Democrats are trying to take our gas stoves away from us. How can the vice president have a gas stove when she's trying to take it away from all these Americans? Like that was a big deal on Friday.
On the right. Everyone else is like,
yeah,
why are you screaming about gas stoves and toilets? What is wrong with the two of you?
Right, seriously.
Yeah, it is fascinating to me that they have nothing. I mean, there was literally nothing. There was that book that came out a couple of years ago. We were talking about how the Republican Party had basically ditched hiring a bunch of, you know, people to actually write legislation, mm-hmm. and instead had hired a bunch of PR people. Like that was a purposeful shift. And now this is what you have, is a party that has no ideas, no legislation. They're trying to get rid of, you know, hey, why don't we do the hits again and talk about, you know, getting rid of Obamacare. Why? Because they don't have anything.
Yeah. And by the way, like
they had a big, beautiful plan that was coming. It never came.
Yeah. And when you see stories like, you know, about how the GOP, the national party is worried that they're running out of money, those two things are related. Like, they don't realize it, but they absolutely fucking are.
Yeah. I saw something about, I'll see if I can find that story, that Democrats like double the amount that mm-hmm. Republicans raised. Like it was just a ridiculous amount.
But yeah, because it turns out when you rely on most of your party's money coming exclusively from large dollar donors giving money to super PACs, and a lot of those donors dry up because they're tired of giving money to fucking losers, it leaves you in a bit of a pickle when a grassroots donation strategy is a lot more fucking sustainable. But again, you know, the Republicans have chosen their constituents to be the ultra rich and the ultra poor with no fucking, nothing in between.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the DNC far outperformed the RNC counterpart in fundraising in October. The latest Federal Elections Commission campaign filings show the DNC chairman, Jamie Harrison, brought in $13.1 million last month compared to the RNC's $7.1 million. The DNC spent $15.9 million and had a $17.7 million on hand at the end of the month with $238,000 in debt. Not bad. Not bad, man. Mm-hmm. The RNC, on the other hand, chaired by Ronna McDaniel, that fucking coward, spent $7.3 million and closed the month with $9.1 million on hand and $2.9 million in debt. So they don't really have they only really have they don't really have $9 million. They really have $6 million. So, like, they even have less than they're saying.
Also doesn't help when your primary fundraiser is not interested in getting other Republicans elected as well at all, and hoards all of his proceeds like fucking Smog the fucking Republican dragon.
Yeah, no, quite literally. He's just like, these are my coins. Like, all right. I mean, but not only is he doing that, like not only does Trump have no interest in helping other Republicans get nominated or get elected, he quite literally can't afford it, right? Mm-hmm. Because all of his money that he is siphoning from the Republican Party, and not like directly siphoning from like the RNC, but siphoning it by being like, help me, the Democrats are trying to attack me. And then all of those people, the ultra rich and the ultra poor, especially the ultra poor, give all of this money to him, right? So that money is no longer has the ability to go to the RNC. And then he's just like, I don't give a shit about them. And he's using it to pay legal fees.
I need a soundboard with my favorite all-time Trump quote that I could just play during times like this, where he's like, I did everything right and they indicted me. I love that line.
You have to find that. I will add that. It's just I just find it hilarious. Like that you're, but Trump is their own undoing. Like he was their undoing. They thought they were riding high in 2016 when he won, and they were.
Mm-hmm.
2020 came around in that sort of run up into that election, and actually, technically throughout his entire time as president, things were tumbling downward, and now we are seeing really the ball is really starting to move really far down. And they don't know – they're in the valley, and they don't know how to stop it. Like, they're just like, well, if we look at someone else, maybe that'll work. It's like, no, dude, the ball's already rolling. You've already convinced the vast majority of your people that this guy is God, and you can't turn it off. I'm seeing more evangelical leaders. I don't know if you've noticed the news. More evangelical leaders are like – he is not our guy. He's terrible. We need to move on. He's not godlike and everything else. It's like, no, but it's too late. Mm-hmm. You took pictures where you all laid hands on him and said that he was chosen by God and he was God's fucking guy. You already got that ball rolling. And now you don't know how to stop it. Frankenstein's monster has left the castle and is down in the village killing people, and you're in the village. Run. Like, you're fucked.
I could have sworn that there was a commandment specifically centered around bearing witness to false idols. I can't remember, though.
Oh, I thought you were going to say coveting my neighbor's wife. That's also one.
Whatever. But I know there's a false idols commandment. I guess they don't. Yeah.
Nah, it's in there. I don't know which number it is. 17? 14? I don't know. But, like... They have gone, they went so far to get him and to praise him and everything else that they forgot to pull back just a little bit, and people forgot he was just a regular person, right? They just forgot. Mm-hmm. You know, he's so rich and fucking beautiful with his golden hair. You know, it's like he's literally like the golden calf. You're like, he's amazing. And now they're fucked. Now they're fucked. And it couldn't happen to a better lot. I got to tell you, like, you deserve this. You deserve it.
It will never cease to befuddle me. And look, like, you know, not to drag anyone for their looks or anything like that. Ever. I mean, no. It shouldn't matter.
No, but go ahead.
Yeah, but it will never cease to confuse the shit out of me that they look at a dude that looks how Donald Trump looks, and, you know, has the hair that Donald Trump has voluntarily, and wears the bronzer that Donald Trump wears voluntarily, and like has the posture that Donald Trump has, and they look at this guy and they're just like, you know, this guy really has his fucking shit together. I'll tell you what, he's the guy to lead.
nobody comes off as smoother than him,
like, right?
It's literally
when they talk about how tough he is and how fucking smart he is, and I'm just like, we are looking at the same guy, you're not looking at some like funhouse mirror version of this dude that I can't see because I'm not a Republican. Like, okay, if you say
all of it is a funhouse mirror. Like yeah. All of it is, and it's just they deserve everything that they have coming to them. But I don't think they realize that this election is not the bottom of the basement yet. It's not. It's not. Because if he loses, and I think that he will, if he loses, he is going to rip the party apart. He's going to rip it apart. And that's the thing that I think the smarter Republicans realize. And look, even for all his freezing up and whatever cognitive issues he has, Mitch McConnell still gets it. That's why Mitch McConnell has kind of separated himself. Like, they realize that they better fucking hunker down, because what comes after this election, if he gets elected, the country is fucked in a million different ways, right? But if he loses, the Republican Party is fucked in a million more different ways.
Well, it's ironic because – for those that don't remember back this far, like, they were having a real, and I don't mean this term in the religious sense, but just like as Republican Party, like, they had a real crisis of faith.
Call after, Jesus moment.
2012 because, you know, Romney was like this regular Republican, Paul Ryan's the future of the party, and even they could not topple, you know, Barack Obama, who was not like riding at the fucking peak of his powers when he was reelected. Like, there's a lot of people that thought Romney was going to win that election. And them losing in 2016 would have actually been the best thing to happen to the party, because it would have forced them to go back to the drawing board and realize that, like, we need, like, if we're going to be still, if we're still going to matter in U.S. politics, like, we need to give up some of these fucking fights that we've been trying to have generationally over the last several decades that just aren't winning issues for us. Yep. And we need to, like, win on the issues that people can still be moved on. And, like, we need to stop fighting about Obamacare. We need to stop fighting about gay marriage. We need to – they probably wouldn't have given up the fight at for abortion at that point. But maybe they would have moderated a little bit. But because Trump won unexpectedly, it put, like, this – like, it put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound that never truly healed.
100%. 100%. And – for 4 years, again, they thought they were riding high.
And for two years, because they got fucking smoked in the midterms in 2018.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So it's – they have not learned a valuable lesson here, which is winning is not – like, okay. So they haven't learned a valuable lesson that winning isn't everything. But the problem is they picked the wrong person, because that person thinks that winning is everything, right? Mm-hmm. So – For those 2 years, really, but I'll even give him the 4 years. For those 4 years, because he won, initially because he won in 2016, he feels invincible. 2018 comes around, surprise, surprise, motherfucker, you're not. And not only are you not invincible, but, like, you're very, very much vulnerable. Right after that comes the pandemic. Everything is just starts tumbling and tumbling and tumbling. Now you could say, well, the pandemic isn't his fault. No, the pandemic is not his fault, but how he handled it was. And that was the fucking straw that broke the camel's back. People were like, we know for a fact that other presidents would have handled this better. They may not have been perfect. We definitely would have lost people, but we wouldn't have been like this. You don't seem like you know what you're doing. And it hurt him. Couple all of that with the Band-Aid over the gaping wound, right? Because while America is noticing, oh shit, this guy really doesn't know what he's doing, and he really doesn't know it in one of the worst times to not know it, right? The Republican Party is already aware of this, but they don't want to say anything because they're riding high because they won the election, right? We beat Hillary Clinton, the unbeatable juggernaut, except she already lost once. The unbeatable juggernaut, right? Like, I never understood that argument. Like, she's unbeatable. Like, she literally just lost.
Yeah, so except when Obama beat her.
Right. Like, he came out of
fucking nowhere. Against all odds. Like when she was the slam dunk favorite. Yeah.
Right. Like, get the fuck out of here. Right. So they are aware. The Republican Party is well aware of what is happening with their party internally. And then he creates deeper wounds in that party that they didn't even have before. And now, coming out of 2016 into 2020, they lose, and everyone's like, oh, they lost because Trump or whatever, and they did. But they were already fundamentally broken. They were fundamentally broken. Here's how you know they're fundamentally broken. Look at what happened after 2 years of Biden, right? They didn't get the red wave. They're supposed to. That's just the fucking political precedent. They're supposed to. But their wounds are too bad. They caught the fucking car with abortion. That tripled down how bad it is. Those are more wounds in the body politic for them, right? So now they are dealing with a more battered and bruised and destroyed party than they ever had when they should have lost in 2016. And they still have this guy at the top who is convinced, I won once, I'm invincible. Best of luck, dude. Because until you can get him out of there, whether it's through voting him out, right, like having him lose a primary, or he dies, because those are your only two fucking options, you're fucked. You're fucked. As long as Donald Trump is alive and can get to a microphone, your party is fucked. It is.
Get or get to a phone for that matter.
Yeah.
Not even a microphone, look, just a phone.
Look, collect calls, baby. Like, they take them from prison. Like, it's fine. So, yeah, I find the entire thing fascinating. I find the evangelicals' response to be fascinating because they are the most diehard, right? Besides the, like, hardcore, like, MAGA lunatics, like mm-hmm. legitimately crazy people. But the evangelicals ride for him hard. I saw an article and they were like, this is how delusional they are. Donald Trump doesn't need the evangelicals to win. Okay. all right, man. Like, they don't have to vote for Joe Biden. They just have to not vote. That's it. Mm-hmm. They just have to not vote.
And they won't vote for Joe Biden. He's a Catholic. Why the fuck would they vote for him?
No, so. No. He's evil. Get out of here. It's not like he believes in the same horse shit you believe. But, like, they are in a situation that is not good for them. And they have not figured out a way out of it. And good. As a person on the other side.
Yeah, but I say could as you said, could not have happened to a nicer group of folks.
Yeah, no. They deserve it. They deserve everything they got coming to them. All right. On that note, we are going to take a quick break and then we will be right back. All right. Next up. Rupert Murdoch to be disposed in $2.75 billion with a B Smartmatic election lawsuit.
Let me tell you something. I know you said deposed, but it sounded like you said disposed, and I got really excited for half a second. But no, just deposed.
get a bit of the Chauvin vibes there.
Yeah,
they've thrown him off of his yacht into the ocean. I mean, that's fine. So Fox News founder Rupert Murdoch, he is going to be having to testify or, you know, deposed in the Smartmatic lawsuit. Here's the thing. Strictly a guess on my part. They're about to settle. They're about to settle. They are about to fucking settle.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, buddy. Because right before they were supposed to depose like Hannity and mm-hmm. like, you know, Judge Jean Pirro and all these other, right when those motherfuckers were supposed to get, I'm pretty sure they hadn't deposed yet. Right before that, the last time they were like, here's $788 million. Like, knock it off. Knock it off. Like, we don't need these motherfuckers getting on the record. And I don't think you want Rupert Murdoch on the record. I don't think you want now, Rupert Murdoch may not mean as much because he's going to be like, I mean, everything's fine. I didn't tell him to do that, right? But if you start to hear – my guess is because you're hearing that he's getting deposed, the other personalities on the channel are going to soon after that. And once that happens, it's go time, baby. Just open up that checkbook because people are getting fired. Okay? People are getting fucking fired. This is a $2.7 billion lawsuit. Yeah, I got to say they're probably going to settle for like a little over a billion. A little over a billion.
No, I think Smartmatic's happy if they get the same deal that Dominion got.
Think so?
Oh yeah.
I'd be like, I want a cool billion, man. I want to just
what's another quarter billion when they're already giving you $750 million, Jay? Come on. Don't get greedy. No need to get greedy.
Listen, as the movie The Burial, which was about a guy taking on this massive corporation, when they offered him $75 million, the corporate guy's like, what are you going to do? You got to turn down $75 million? It's like, you're just a fucking poor schmuck. It's like, that's $75 million is not enough for you? He goes, no. I'm concerned that $75 million isn't enough for you to have to pay out. So that's my thought. If you want to hurt these guys, get a billion. A billion's a nice round number, man. It's a, nice, it's a number that will live in fucking infamy, right?
That's true.
I mean, look, remember post that $788 billion or million-dollar payout, they were real leery when it was like the next conspiracy came up. They were like, well, this isn't substantiated with facts. It was like, yeah, shut the fuck up. Like, shut up. You better shut up. I think
you and Tucker Carlson's not here anymore. What happened to him?
Oh yeah. No. Now they got Jesse Waters. They're just scraping the bottom of the barrel to find a guy for that 9 o'clock
hour. Well, yeah, I mean you went from fucking Pepsi to RC Cola overnight. So that's no good.
Jesus Christ. It's like it's more like mellow yellow to piss.
That's true. That's true. More like Pepsi to Sam's Choice. Fucking Cola.
Wow. Sam's Choice. Jesus Christ. Somebody grew up poor like me. So it's look, it's I think it's coming. I think that settlement's coming. I think it's going to be significant. Look, if it's another $788 million or roughly that, that ain't good for them either, man. That's a lot of money. I don't care what the fuck Fox News says. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, losing nearly $2 billion just because you decided to fucking act like consequences were a thing to happen to you talking about this shit during the election. Yeah, that will probably have to change some behaviors. Mm-hmm. At the Absolutely. Network, I would imagine.
Look, let's say they only pay out another $780 million. Even if they don't get the billion, kind of hoping, but even if they don't get a billion, yes, it changes attitudes and things like that, but it changes how they deal with the election coming up. And that is important, right? Even if it was only 30 million, it changes how they talk about this shit. It changes how they start to push bullshit narratives and, oh, I don't know, Donald Trump lost, so let's start cranking up the machine again. No, because without Fox News, that whole theory of the election was stolen, it dies. The big lie dies without Fox News. If like Trump could say it a million times and he just seems embittered and fucking lame, but when you got an entire network going, I know. Look at this footage. Look at this. They're reaching under the table. 24 hours a day reinforcing it. That's a powerful narrative. Without that, that's not good. Look, ain't nobody watching OAN. Nobody watching whatever the fuck. What's the other one?
Newsmax.
Nobody watching that bullshit.
And even Newsmax goes out of their way. Like they, like I saw a clip, and this might have been an old clip, but I feel like I don't think it was, where they had Mike Lindell on. And before Mike Lindell started talking about his crazy, because Mike Lindell's still out there talking about like, oh, this is all rigged bullshit. Oh, I've got all this proof. Like the anchor literally, the host literally had to interrupt him and be like, hey, before you get into all this, I just have to say, none of this has been factually substantiated, and in fact, like, there's been proof that have come. Like, they're even, you know, going out there because they don't want to.
They can't afford this. You think they could afford it? Fox News can barely afford it. You think they could afford a $250 million lawsuit to OAN? They'd be destroyed.
You know what else is really funny? I almost wonder if the Fox reaction in the wake of the election was they were almost overcompensating to make up for the fact that they were the ones that first called Arizona for Biden, which is what sealed the deal.
Yep. I mean, which is a weird thing. I don't think that's out of the possibility. It's a weird thing to like overcompensate for, because it's like, it's just the numbers, dude. Like,
yeah,
it's like, not their like, job. Like, no, it's not their job like, to rig it. It's like,
yeah,
it's
like you guys accidentally broken clock yourself and actually reported factual information for once.
Yeah,
no, that's not our brand. Like, we have to lie like crazy. Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
Let's wait till 7 days out and then be like, and also Arizona was called for Joe Biden. Let's not talk about it. Like, no, their job is to report the fucking news, like to actually do it. Now, granted, they're not very good at it, but like when it comes to election nights, you should in fact be good enough to read numbers and go, this number is bigger than this number. Like, sorry. So, yeah, them, if that is part of it, like, it's just ridiculous. But, yeah, I feel like that settlement's coming, dude. Like, it's coming. We're going to wake up one day and it's going to be like, Fox News paying out $1.3 billion. And I'll be like, hell yeah. Give me some of that shit. Next up, Republicans are not pleased with Mitt Romney. Why?
I mean, in fairness, because he's going out the door and taking no prisoners on his way out.
I love it.
So, which, you know, I appreciate from Mitt Romney.
Look, I got to tell you, the more and more I see of Mitt Romney, the more I realize that Mitt Romney is actually just Gavin Newsom from a weird future. Like, he's just like, I'm here from to Earth warn 2. You. Yeah, I'm here to warn you. Please don't vote for Republicans. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so Romney came out and was like, look, quote, I'd be happy to support virtually any one of the Republicans, maybe not Vivek. Damn. But the others that are running would be acceptable to me, and I'm happy to vote for them. I'd be happy to vote for a number of the Democrats, too. It would be an upgrade, in my opinion, from Donald Trump and perhaps also from Joe Biden. Knock it off, Mitt. Knock it off. Like, don't try to slide the little Joe Biden shit under there. But look, in reality, he's not wrong. Any of the Republicans, besides Vivek, would be a marketable improvement. We're going to talk about where the Koch brothers or the Koch network, where they're staking their claim, because it's pretty fucking
I find it very funny that you with talking to Mitt Romney, Vivek's out here just fucking catching strays. Like, he didn't have to fucking mention.
Yeah. I would vote for anyone except that guy. Like, dude, what the fuck did I do? Yeah, you suck, though. Like, that guy, like, at least he recognizes that Vivek is
a grifter.
A grifter, but arguably the young brown version of Trump. Mm-hmm. He is. He is a person who doesn't know shit when it comes to politics. Like, that is clear. Oh, by the way, did you know that we should live in a secular country? Yeah, very good, Vivek. Like, you fucking moron. We already do. Jesus Christ. Whatever word you want to use. Not whatever word. Like, yo, that tape made me so mad. Like you're trying to gaslight me in what the word means. Like, stop that. Like, knock it off. You just
I find it very sweet and endearing that in solidarity with your Indian wife that you get extra mad at Vivek Ramaswamy because he's making all other Indian Americans look
that is correct. That is correct.
With his idiocy.
It really bothers me. Like, it really bothers me. Really does, man. It does. Like, dude, you're clearly a smart guy, like, in and of itself, right? Like, he's clearly a smart, capable dude. Could you just not be a scumbag? Could you not be a scumbag? My wife always says, like, what the fuck is the deal with my people all being Republicans? Like, I'm like, I don't know. It's a real fucking problem, man. Like, yeah, you got, like, what's her face on the Democrats? Super liberal. Jayapal, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, you got her out there, but, you know, like, a lot of you big old mainstream ones, man. Nikki Haley, fucking Bobby Jindal.
Yeah. Dinesh. Don't forget about Dinesh.
Dinesh D'Souza. Oh, my God. I hate that guy in two different ways. I don't like that guy from a politics perspective, and I don't respect him as a director. Fuck him on both fronts. I think he's a no talent ass clown in both genres. Get out of here. Both of our podcasts, I hate him for two wildly different reasons. Fuck off. Yeah, it's not looking good for it's not looking good for Indians, man. Like, you guys do better, man.
Blame Modi. It's all his fault.
Yeah. So yeah, Romney is like, look, man, I'll take anybody over Trump. I would even vote for a hot dog. The Koch network makes it known that they are going to support the GOP nominee that is, drumroll, Nikki Haley. So that is who they're backing. The political network, largely financed by billionaire Charles Koch and the ghost of his dead brother, endorsed U.S. ambassador or former U.S. ambassador Nikki Haley. Oh, he is dead. Boosting her primary campaign against Republican frontrunner Donald Trump. Look, I got to tell you, of all of the people I have seen on that stage, she sounds the best. She sounds the most serious. Do I think Nikki Haley would make a good president? No, because I have eyes and ears and my brain works. But if I had to take any of the Republicans running, it would probably be her. Like, if I if it was like no Democrats are running, she's running unopposed, it'd probably be her. I think she seems the most serious. She seems like the one mm-hmm. who's actually going after the job. I mean, I think what's his face from New Jersey, Chris Christie, is going after the job. But I do also think it's more of a vengeance campaign. Which look, mm-hmm. I respect the pettiness. Like I respect it. Like God bless. But it definitely seems more like he just kind of want a suicide bomber, Donald Trump's kind of situation. But Haley looks like fuck Trump, but I actually think it could do a good job. Whether she could do a mm-hmm. good job, I would probably tend to disagree with her. But I think she is the most serious. So I'm glad to hear at least they are picking someone who isn't a complete nutcase. She's not.
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's good insofar as that if it does come down between her and Trump, which I think it will, DeSantis has to stop the bleeding at some point, especially if he wants a future in national politics. But if it does come down to her and Trump, it does mean that she'll have a shitload of money coming in to be able to battle against him, which is good for her. But again, I just don't, barring literally everyone else in the Republican primary dropping out before we get to actual primary contest and it being a two-person race, I don't see any path forward for her. And even if that were to happen, it's still pretty slim. And actually, they are, I don't know if you know this, they've changed a lot of the primary rules, the Republican primary rules, since the last one, to stack the deck for Trump. So basically, in a lot of these early states, it used to be that you would earn delegates if you got at least 5% of the vote. Now you need to get at least 20% of the vote to earn any Republican delegates. And in a lot of these states, they've also put in a clause that if any one candidate takes over 50% of the vote in the state, then it just becomes winner take all.
What a crock of shit that is. What a crock of shit that is. I don't like the winner take all thing because I think it doesn't give anybody – it doesn't give anybody a chance to build momentum, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, it gives one person a chance to build momentum. Like, you get two winner take all states in a row, you're off to the race.
It makes a front runner campaign become a self fulfilling prophecy, essentially. So,
yeah, like let them fight it out, right? Like, look, you could mm-hmm. make the argument that a winner take all campaign would have worked out better for Democrats and perhaps in the 2016 race, right? It would have just eliminated Bernie way faster and then they wouldn't have had that fight. But as much damage as that did, that's what the race is. Mm-hmm. You should be able, everybody who is voting should have an ability to fight it out for their candidate.
Right? And it made Hillary Clinton a more appealing candidate to more Democrats because it forced her to move on some of her positions to grab more of the party. You know, what's funny is I almost get the, cause like we hear a lot from the DeSantis and the Haley campaigns about we're pushing to get second in Iowa and build momentum from that. And it's weird because like, I feel like that they're trying to mimic the Joe Biden strategy without understanding that South Carolina is not going to be to a Republican candidate running against Donald Trump what it was to Joe Biden running against the Democratic field, which is even more funny because Nikki Haley is literally from South Carolina and she still probably won't carry that state against Donald Trump, which is insane. Yeah.
No, she absolutely won't. Yeah, it's wild. it's fucking wild. But it'll be interesting to see what the Coat Network can do. Can they like move the scale a little bit for her? I don't know. They got a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Look, your best bet, I don't even know if this is true to say this. Your best bet is if you can knock him down early and just build momentum, and then like people are like, the first woman fucking candidate. And like, again, it's a Republican party, so probably not saying that, but like maybe they feel like this is their moment. She's a minority. Like they might be able to bullshit their way into the thing that they lie to everyone else about that they care about, you know, minorities, women. They don't care about either one of those things. Actually, they would rather put their fucking boot on the necks of all those people. But it may represent a moment where they're like, see, the Republican Party is modern. We had this old stodgy white guy. Now we've got this young, hip, like 60-year-old Indian woman who looks white. So it's fine. We're totally different now. So I don't know. Like if mm-hmm. if they could knock him down early, which I think will be very, very difficult, she might be able to swing some of that momentum and get moving. But they got to knock him down early. Like, he's not going to win Iowa. That'll probably be one of the fucking dorks.
No, he will. He like if polling is to be believed, yes. Again, like, they are both – like, her and DeSantis both are, like, second place in Iowa is our goal. Like that, they're literally over. Coming into Iowa with, like, this is what we're
– Yeah, if he wins Iowa, it's over. Like, it's over. I hate to say that. That sounds fucking ridiculous, but it's over. Because at that point – normally, the people who win Iowa are the crazy religious nut bars who are like, I'll eat a fucking, you know, a porcupine's ass deep fried at the fair. And like, those people win. Right. But then it doesn't necessarily translate down the line. But if he wins, then that means mm-hmm. he still has control over the party. Even though
I think that her only chance is if somehow she emerges from Super Tuesday within striking distance of him. And I think you can build momentum off of that. And especially because he will be going through like his trials will be starting around that time as well. So it'll make it even easier. But you have to be there after Super Tuesday. Like if he has like a fucking if he has like 70% of the delegates after Super Tuesday, you're done. It's fucking over. But if he has like 55 to 60, you might have a shot at it.
Closer to 50, like real close to like 53%. And you're like, I can do it. But I don't know. I don't know. Again, the one thing that will pull any real will pull guard here is if the evangelicals have a full tilt. They're like, we're done. If they have a full tilt.
But again, their leaders.
Yeah,
their leaders are pulling away from him, yeah. Not their partitioners. Yeah. Just the leaders are.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. But the leaders, it'll be interesting. I got to tell you though, like I mentioned earlier, if he loses, if he gets the nomination and he goes into the general and he loses to Biden, he is going to rip that party apart. He is going to push for his own party. The Republican Party failed him. It'll always be someone else's fault. That's what a petulant child does. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He will rip it apart and he will quite literally splinter the party into the MAGA party and then the Republican party. And then the Republicans are fucked forever, right? Because guess what?
Liberals
and Democrats are not going to splinter. They're going to be like, oh, this is an opportunity to run the table, baby. Like, let's fucking go. So
yeah,
that's what will happen. Like, he will rip the party apart. He does not care. If he loses the primary, and Nikki Haley wins, because I think she's the only one who really has a chance to beat him, or if anybody, pick a name, he is going to rip the party apart because he's going to say that it was rigged, and then he is going to get as many of his people to say, fuck that lady.
Yeah, don't vote.
Vote for me, write me in type of shit. Even though he knows that he does not have an opportunity to overcome what she has or whoever is the winner of the actual primary, he will still do it because of his insane ego. He can't walk away. He's not going to get – you think he's going to hire a person like Nikki Haley? She leaves. He talks shit on her. She then runs against him. She beats him, and then he supports her against a Democrat? Does that sound like Donald Trump to you? No fucking way. He's going to be like, fuck that woman. The best thing she can hope for is that he just walks away and says nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But looking down in Georgia at the two Democrats who are in the Senate, I would argue he's not capable of that. So he's not capable of supporting anybody except for himself. So best scenario, Donald Trump wins the primary and loses to Joe Biden and dies. Like, that's it. Like, just dies the next day so that he doesn't destroy your party the next day. That's it.
Or honestly, like, that scenario is like that's how many days until Election Day? There's like what, probably like 340. Okay. So the scenario you just proffered is the 341st best scenario. The other 340 scenarios are him dying today and then tomorrow and then the day after that and then the day after that and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Increasingly sadder and sadder outcomes
right.
as we get closer. Yeah. But I think the Republican Party is truly fucked. Now, that being said, I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see him rip it apart. I'd love to see, because I want to see where people go. Like, you'd really be able to see who are the sycophants and who are the people mm-hmm. who actually believe in this shit, right? Like, I don't have to agree with them. I don't have to agree with the fundamentals of the Republican Party. Guess what? I don't. But it'd be interesting to see who would pick literally him over a party they've been in for 30 or 40 years. It'd be fascinating.
I think the amount of like die on the hill MAGA people would be less than you think, but it would still be enough to fuck their ability to win a presidential election.
Yeah. I think it would fuck their ability to hold either house or either chamber of the of Congress. Yeah.
Well, they have a coalition maybe. a right-leaning coalition.
Yeah, sure.
We're a parliament now, baby.
Yeah, but I mean, they have that now, and look how shit's getting done.
Right. Oh, yeah, like look how it's going. Not as great.
Not so good. All right, next up, more than 800,000 people received a 813,000 to be more exact. 813,000 borrowers of student loans got an email from Joe Biden being like, debt forgiven, baby. Like, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Big Joe's got you. Though Biden's plan to cancel up to $400 billion in student debt for tens of millions of Americans was foiled by that Supreme Court, he has managed to erase $127 billion in student debt so far for more than 3.5 million borrowers, more than any other president in history. Again, I'm going to need people to not make arguments. Then when the details start coming out, it's just a fugazi, and they just fucking stop talking about it. Nobody's talking about student debt anymore. Remember that? Like all the fucking bad faith podcast assholes and all those other people. And it was the biggest thing they could think of until shit started happening, and then they're off to something else. It's not important anymore. 3.5 million borrowers have had debt relief, had their debt wiped. 3.5 billion, dude. Or excuse me, 3.5 million borrowers. It's not enough for you. It's not enough. Okay.
Well, and again, it's also important to remember that even if this doesn't affect you personally, like it's still helping other Americans, and it's not entirely about you. And this is a win-win for Joe Biden, because again, he can campaign on this and he can talk about, hey, I got $127 billion in debt canceled. And if it wasn't for my predecessor being in office and getting to put three Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court, we would have gotten three times as much. Canceled. Yep.
Yeah.
And so you got to keep Democrats in power so that when those positions open up, we can make sure to get people on the court that aren't fucking in the bag for Republicans.
Yeah. I mean, look,
I don't think he would say that. I think he'd have to have a surrogate make that argument, but he would at least talk about it. You can't
say that on a debate. Hey, I'm trying to rig the courts. Like, yeah, that's
right.
But yeah, I mean, even though obviously that's exactly what every president does, like that's the whole point of you getting a chance to put Supreme Court justices on. But yeah, it's I think the thing that irritates me the most about this is that people stop talking about it the second the work actually gets done. Nobody talks about it. I haven't heard a single conversation about student loan debt in months. Nothing. The biggest thing, you motherfuckers would not stop talking about it. And then Joe Biden's like, yeah, here, I clear some debt. And they're like, oh.
That's it?
Why didn't you do more?
Yeah,
because of the Supreme Court, jackasses. Like, it's not hard to tell. It's pretty easy. Last but certainly not least, this week in bullshit.
Is it not least? I'm pretty sure it's least.
You know what? I don't think you're wrong. Will you be seeing this movie before I tell people about it?
Oh, this is, isn't this a show?
No, it's a movie, Brett.
Like, this is a show, isn't it?
No, it's a movie. This is a, okay. This is a full length feature film.
Interesting. Okay.
So the douchebags over at the Daily Wire, the right-wing media company, founded by conservatives Ben Shapiro, they have made a trans comedy or an anti-trans comedy called Lady Ballers, which is the Daily Wire's, I guess, chance at making a Joanna Man movie. And it, look, I know what you're thinking. This probably sounds terrible. You're wrong. It's worse than terrible, if that's even possible. Now, look, I'm gonna take off my politics hat, set that aside, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna put on my movie.
Put on your movie critic hat. Okay.
This is shot terribly.
Are you gonna force us to watch the trailer?
I can't. I don't know if I can play it.
I don't want to be honest, and I don't want to give the Daily Wire another view on YouTube. So.
Yeah, don't worry. But it's shot terribly. Like it mm-hmm. looks very flat. Which is the sign of normally a journeyman director. It's not fun.
Apparently, this is the same. This is the dude that wrote, directed, and stars in this is the same dude that directed that, like, Gina Carano on the Prairie fucking film.
That makes sense.
That came out. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. It doesn't exude any level of actual humor. Look, again, I'm not even like talking about whether I agree with the messaging. Obviously I do not. I'm not like in my feelings about it. I'm like super hurt. No, I'm not. I'm actually offended from a filmmaking standpoint. Like this is just not good. The jokes fall flat. They feel like the jokes people made in the 90s. It's just like it's a guy who or like a couple of guys who realize because of the whole trans thing, they can just pretend to be women, and because they don't have to like actually get surgeries or anything else like that, they can just be gender fluid, they can play in women's sports and they can dominate women's sports because, you know, that's what, you know, these salacious and evil guys will do, and they're just, they got like full beards but they got long hair and they can throw a shot put further than women because, you know, guys and shit, right? It's very rudimentary. It's just very silly. I'm not mad that they made it necessarily. I'm mad that anybody who is not a complete dumbass would star in this. Like, who are the people, who are the actors that were like, yeah, no, this is good for my career? What are you doing?
I would imagine either actors that are, you know, very down for the cause or people that literally couldn't get work anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't want to see
would be the folks.
Yeah, I don't want to see these guys in anything else. You know what I mean? Like, I'll
tell you what, because I can delete, you know, this from my IMDb search history. So, like, I don't mind going there. Of the starring guy, like, of the guys that are on, like, the basketball team, only two of them even have pictures on IMDb. Mm. So that kind of lets you know what we're working with here.
Yeah, top quality.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the one of the dudes that has pictures, and two of the movies that are on his, like, his two most recent films don't have like movie posters on IMDb. So like that's what we're that's the caliber. Oh, and one of the other guys that has pictures was also in the shitty Gina Carano movie. So there you go.
I mean, of course, you know, quality shit. Yeah, just from a film critic standpoint, this looks bad. Look, all the D-bags are in this, if you're wondering. Matt Walsh is in it. Candace Owens is in it. Ben Shapiro is in it. Jordan Peterson is in it. Oof. Jordan Peterson. Jesus.
Told you the gang is all here. And not to be outdone, a rising media podcast superstar, Ted Cruz has a guest starring role in the film as well.
I'm glad he could take time out of his busy schedule as a senator to be in a movie to try to shit on trans people.
That's his side hustle. Come on, Jay.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a professional podcaster who happens to do some senating on the side.
Yeah, he moonlights as a senator, right? Like, he's a right. When it's convenient. Yeah, but just from a movie making standpoint, this looks bad. It looks very cheap. Look, if this is not at your local Walmart $5 bin very soon, that's a shame. This is going to be available, I think, exclusively on the Daily Wire's YouTube channel or something like that. I will make you a promise. I will watch this movie.
I'm glad you will. Because I'm certainly not fucking subjecting myself to 75 minutes of this horseshit.
I want it. Look. If Ben Shapiro was forced to watch a terrible movie like the Barbie movie, surely I can watch this quality craftsmanship of a shitbag film that is Lady Ballers. The same. I'm willing to take the hit. But I will give you an honest review. If I think it's good, I'll tell you it's good.
I've seen thumbnails to know that when you say it's an honest review, that it means you're just shit all over it, Jay.
I'm going to give it an honest review. I'm a good person.
Listener, understand this. When Jay shared this with Andy and I in our private chat with each other earlier today.
This is a private chat. This is a private chat,
bro. Yeah. Andy and I both refused to click on it because we do not want that fouling up our fucking algorithm. The last thing that I need is to start getting recommended fucking Daily Wire videos on YouTube because it's like, oh, you're interested in Lady Ballers? Well, let me show you all this other fucking horse shit. Hey, have you heard of PragerU? This is fucking awesome. Check it out.
Yeah, not me. In for a penny, in for a pound. Let's go. Yeah, it's gonna be good, man. It's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I can't wait to hear their commentary on the trans sports issue.
I'm sure it's gonna be very nuanced and subtle.
Quality work. Maybe I'll see if I can get Ben on to talk about what the fuck he was thinking about when they put this shit out. Be great. Excellent. All right. That is it for us. We're back, obviously, after the break. And we will be back next week.